session number 17349, reel 2.
Mr. Bridge, reel 2.
Right.
What happened then?
Well, I was taken into Norwich in the Britannia barracks, which, as it happened, I became the first regular soldier to be recruited into the barracks, which was the Royal Norfolk's regimental depot since before the war. Prior to that, everybody had been called up and done their basic there, national servicemen and whoever were conscripted during the war. But I was in about 2 weeks before the first national servicemen who were going into the Royal Norfolk Regiment also came in. So I did then all my basic training with national servicemen. I think there was another two regular soldiers, but that was it.
Do you remember the month you joined?
Yeah, April.
51. Where did you do your basic training?
In the Britannia Barracks, Norwich.
What was it like?
I found everything easy. And to me it was the ideal life. After that, the continuation.
But sorry to interrupt you, but we saw, both of us, the television programme last night on National Service, and they showed the basic training there, and the recruits there didn't seem to be having an easy time of it from the NCOs in charge. Do you think that was accurate from what you experienced?
Well, there'd be various places, depots around the country, which, well, I suppose some people did get carried away, but as far as I can recall, the treatment meted out to national servicemen was very fair. There was, one or two individuals who just couldn't get along, and of course they were shouted at, but as far as there was no outlandish bullying or making scapegoats of people or anything.
But on that program, they showed a sergeant who deliberately messed somebody's perfectly laid kit out. Did you come across that?
No, never. If it wasn't laid out correctly, then people would be told, but as far as I can recall, there's nothing out of the ordinary about it. I mean, I've never seen beds thrown over or stuff destroyed or anything.
And we had depicted the swearing or the foul language used by sergeants and shouting in their faces and that type of thing. Did you get that?
No. I never met it on any occasion. There'd be the odd times when some people just couldn't get it right, but to me it was so nothing out of the ordinary, you know, two army life.
But we also saw on that program last night somebody who couldn't get it right, the marching, he couldn't march.
Well, I've seen people do that, but eventually it comes to them. But to try and march like that is far more difficult than it looks, to follow your left leg with your left arm. It's very difficult.
But we saw the man being humiliated there in front of the others. Did you see that?
Well, there would be strong tickings off, but as far as the foul language, I mean, I can't recall any of that.
But I mean, this chap was made to march up and down when he couldn't march properly, just to humiliate him. Did you see anything of that kind?
No, I can't recall that I did. And we certainly never, in the time I was in, ever paint whitewashed cool. Never. I've never even seen it anywhere. Other things, yes, but not cool.
What other things?
Well, say area cleaning, picking up the minutest, piece of rubbish or anything lying about, and say nothing which, to me, seemed anyway out of the ordinary.
But did you come across examples of unreasonable bull?
No, I can't recall that I did.
After your basic training, what happened to you then?
Went for continuation training to Bury St Edmunds, where I was there for 10 weeks, and then...
What was it like at Bury?
It wasn't too bad. It was quite pleasant, as far as I recall.
What type of things were you learning?
All the weapons, weapon training, field craft, quite a lot of marching, firing on the local rangers. I think there was quite a bit of jungle training. And I think that was about it.
Was this the Suffolk Regiment?
Well, Bury is the depot for the Suffolk Regiment, the same as Norwich is for the Norfolk Regiment. But most of our instructors were from the Suffolk Regiment.
So were you allocated to a regiment by now?
No, I was in the Royal Norfolk Regiment, and all the people, the national servicemen with me, they were also Norfolk Regiment.
Are you about to tell me what happened after Bury?
Yeah, we were posted. Majority of them came with me down to Southampton, where I think we're all designated for Hong Kong as reinforcements, for anywhere where they wanted to go. Even some, I think, were actually transferred to the Suffolk Regiment because the operation in Malaya was still in its heyday. I think the majority of us went to Hong Kong, where we were put in care of the Royal Ulster Rifles and various other regiments there.
Anything special about the voyage out there?
Not as far as I can recall. Just seeing the strange places, I think the first port of call we made was Algiers. And after that, Port Said. And then Colombo, Singapore, and Hong Kong.
Do you know when you arrived in Hong Kong?
Yes, I think it took nearly 6 weeks.
So which month did you get to Hong Kong?
I believe it was late November or beginning of December, 51.
Did you stay in Hong Kong?
Yes. The majority of them, after a short period, were moved on to Korea with reinforcements for the Norfolk Regiment. But at the time, there'd been some hoorah in the papers about sending national servicemen to Korea who were not yet 19. So I was not allowed to go with the draft because I was still only 18.
How did you feel about that?
I didn't like it at all. So I had to stay on with the Royal Ulster Rifles.
What kind of a life did you have in Hong Kong?
Not too bad. It was quite easy going, as a matter of fact. The Ulster Rifles had recently arrived in Hong Kong, you know, from Korea. And that was fairly easy going.
What type of things did you do in Hong Kong?
Well, I was in the mortar platoon with the Royal Ulster Rifles, and of course there'd be plenty of training. They'd be out on manoeuvres, exercises, and whatever. They'd be up in the hills. They built a belt of wire across the whole Kowloon Peninsula, or the New Territories, rather. And we'd be up there for month after month wiring, you know. It's a huge belt of wire, probably about 100 yards deep. All types of wire, you know. There was a trip wire which is spread out like a cobweb on the ground. And concertina wire. In front and behind that, in front of there, there'd be double aprons of wire, single aprons, and they took, well, I think every regiment up in the New Territories were on this. It just seemed to go on forever.
Did you see any of the Chinese troops?
Well, we would do a border lookout where we'd go up for about a week, camping just opposite the border, and we could see the Chinese border guards.
Did you have any verbal or other contact with
them? No.
Did you think they would attack?
Well, I thought that was the main idea of building this huge wire barricade. And, of course, we had all prepared positions up in the hills. And, as I say, it was quite interesting.
Did you feel any nervousness about the situation?
No.
What did you do in your free time?
Going to the local villages, which all had small dance halls and, you know. The canteen facilities weren't too good in the camps anyway, and the entertainment, we'd have to go to a cinema quite some distance away, which catered for the battalions up in the New Territories.
So you were with the Royal Ulster Rifles?
Yeah.
Which battalion?
First.
Had you been in Britain, had you been with the 1st Battalion of the Royal Norfolks?
No, I hadn't. They were in Korea. Well, I was doing my training.
But you were with the regiment, the Royal Norfolks, in Britain.
No, the Royal Norfolk Regiment, the 1st Battalion, was in Korea at the time.
But you were part of their regiment in Britain?
Oh, yeah, I was definitely, yeah.
But not part of the battalion?
Not part of the battalion.
How did you find the Royal Ulster Rifles after the Norfolks? Was there much difference?
Well, quite a bit. A lot of them were regulars. I think there are still a few Z-men among them waiting to go home. And there was, what, say, about 20% would be Londoners who'd been drafted into the Ulster Rifles. But I think the majority of them were Irishmen. Some of them were, I'd say, regulars. And on the whole, they're a pretty rough lot, but quite easy to get along with.
Rough in what way?
Well, brawling, drinking, womanising, and I know in the mortar platoon at one time, I think 70% of them were undergoing treatment for VD.
Do you think that what that programme said last night about that side of things was accurate?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Or did you feel there were any inaccuracies about it?
No, I think it was very correct.
So, when did you actually go to Korea?
Well, the moment I knew I was coming up to my next birthday, I put in a application to transfer to any, or to the next regiment, which was due to arrive in Korea. Because the Norfolk Regiment were then coming out into Hong Kong.
Why were you so keen to get to Korea?
Well, I think there were a number of reasons. I wanted to see some action. What it was all about, I don't think that was a main contender why I wanted to go.
What was the real reason why you wanted to go?
To get away from barrack life, so to speak. Although the barracks weren't much, they were only Nissen huts where all you were staying at the time in Hong Kong, and I just wanted to try, well, I wanted to be somewhere different.
Because of boredom?
Probably, yeah.
Weren't you worried about being injured?
No, not at all.
Can you tell me about going to Korea, please?
Well, I went to Japan first, because I was still under age to go to Korea. And I was in a battle school there for 2 or 3 months, and some latecomers who were also ex-Norfolk recruits, I met a few of them there, and I think I was there for about 2 months. And then the Duke of Wellingtons were coming out from England to Korea. So after this battle school training and everything, we were shipped off to Busan into the transit camp there to await the Duke of Wellingtons to arrive.
What did you learn at the battle school?
Very advanced training.
Such as?
Well, live ammunition everywhere, and minefields, how to deal with them, get through them, a lot of infantry tactics, especially charging up hills with live ammunition being fired very close to you, and quite a few casualties as far as I can recall.
Was this British or American run?
British.
Whereabouts was it?
It wasn't far from Curry. It was actually just outside Curry.
So you were saying that you met the, you went to Pusan. What impression did Pusan make on you when you saw it?
Pretty grim.
In what way?
Well, just the state of the place. I mean, all right, everywhere abroad smells, but this really stunk as far as I was concerned. We had the American band on the quayside as we moored up, which I think every troop ship got the same. American military band playing jazz. And I think a flock of school children. Quite a reception, mind you, but didn't last long. I mean, didn't impress anybody either, I don't think.
Which battalion of the Dukes did you join?
1st Battalion.
Where did you meet them?
In the transit camp.
Is this in Pusan?
This is in Pusan, yeah. I think the camp was called Britannia Camp.
What impression did the 1st Battalion of the Dukes make on you?
Well, I was assigned to B Company, along with one chap from the Norfolk who I'd met in Japan. And apart from, there was a lot of kit being issued, and it was, I don't know, it just seemed to, the time seemed to go in, no, I think we couldn't have been there any more than a few days. And then we were shipped up to the front.
And which platoon were you in?
11. Which I remained with the whole time I was with them.
Did you say B Company or D Company?
B, Baker.
Can you tell me about going to the front, please?
Well, we went up by train, which took a hell of a long time. I can't recall the distance between Pusan and the railhead where we eventually left the train, but it never seemed to travel more than, what, 20 miles an hour. And then there were frequent stops. It's also quite hot as well. And I can remember the carriages were pretty rough, and there was windows, but I remember pushing one up, and to keep it up I stuck my bayonet in the side of the window to keep it up. And then I got off the train and left it under. But it didn't make a lot of difference because we later got issued with a different type of bayonet, and one missing bayonet didn't make any commotion, you know, at the time.
So you weren't punished for it?
Oh, no. No.
And then?
We were then, I think, in bivouac about 3 miles behind the front line, where we stayed for, I should imagine, a few more days with nothing much going on anyway. There was no training, as far as I can recall. There was a bit of zeroing in of weapons. And then we mooted up to the nearest point we could get to the front line, and then we marched up to a place called Rotation Ridge, which was apparently a very quiet spot on the British sector.
Rotation Ridge?
Yeah. There we relieved the 1st Battalion RAR, Royal Australian Regiment. I recall I went up the day before as a forerunner of the position we're going to have, so that when the others come up, I could explain to them where all the firing bays were and what positions were in front. So I stayed a day and a half with the Australians, and I'd say they're quite good fellows. And the following day, when our company came up, all right, they went down, you know, and we were their relief.
What were their positions like?
Do you mean defensively or cleanliness? Or
both.
Well, they were pretty standard to what we'd seen, or what we would later see, all along the front. Frontline trench with fire bays and the communication trenches, which come round the back, and then the dugouts, which were, you know, dug into the hillside and covered over with whatever.
Did they leave them in good condition?
Yes, I think they were quite clean.
Do you remember any of the tips that they gave you?
I can't recall any tips, but as I said, it was a quiet part of the line, and all we got were one or two shells a day. I mean, nothing. It's probably only because the Chinese had seen movement and probably thought they could score a few, you know, kills.
Which month did you go into the line at Rotation Ridge?
That'd be must have been October.
October 52.
52, yeah.
How long did you stay there?
Be probably